Welcome to the Waldorf Gridiron Club podcast, your home for all things football at Waldorf University, the best small college football experience in America. Hosted by Andy Buffington and me, Troy Thompson, from the secret bunker beneath Bullsdorf Field.
Welcome to this episode of the Waldorf Gridiron Club podcast, episode numero dos, en español.
Yeah.
Sí.
I don't know what the word for season is in Spanish. Saison.
I think that's French.
That was very French sounding.
Maybe some Dutch-Irish. I don't know. Dutch-Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we roll on season three, folks. Appreciate you joining us.
Yes.
Last week we had the head coach, his second season as head coach.
Yes.
Tyler Chapa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's our guy.
He came out and talked to us about the schedule and some stories, his 30th birthday party. It was great.
Oh, yeah. And I remember I wasn't there.
Yeah. Neither one of us.
Not that I've been giving him a bad time about it. And I need to lay off, because it's like, I don't want to say I don't care,
mm-hmm.
because I love the man to death.
Mm-hmm.
But it really provided me an opportunity to not have to come up with an excuse not to be there.
Right. Well, listen, we like to go to bed early. And
8:30-ish.
But we still like to get invited.
That's the point. So
that is the point.
Okay, fans, we got a treat for you tonight. You know, you heard last week that there's some changes to coaching staff, and so we wanted to make sure that we're bringing in the big guns right away. So we want to welcome here to the bunker deep beneath Bullsdorf Field, new defensive line coach Ben, or Benjamin, depending on if he's in trouble or not. Brummer, coach, how's it going, buddy?
Welcome. It's going good. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
absolutely. Wow. So. Let's start off by talking a little bit about you've been in town for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Two weeks.
Yeah.
So tell me what has happened in your life in the last 2 weeks.
Well, so obviously got hired on here at Waldorf, moved out here, rented a nice house there at the corner of K Street, and I think it's 9th or 8th.
You just doxed yourself now. Everybody
knows. Who cares? Come by. Everyone seems so nice.
The scores of listeners. Yes.
Everybody that comes by either brings food or...
there you go.
Diapers.
Diapers, because about a week after living here, we our firstborn son, Otto Brummer, was born.
Otto.
It's a great name.
It is a great name. Mm-hmm. It's a strong
O-T-T-O.
Name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be weird if it was A-U-T-O.
That would be odd.
Yeah.
What's Otto's... Does Otto have a middle name?
Yep, Bradley after my father.
Nice. Very nice. Good. That's a great honor. And your wife?
Michaela.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you come from Elk River, Minnesota.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's northwest Minneapolis area. Not quite in the metro, but it's northwest of Minneapolis a ways.
Yeah, northwest Minneapolis, just south of St. Cloud, 30 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Okay. So when you were up there, you played high school football, obviously. You were actually like a multi-sport athlete, if I remember right. I was doing a little bit of research on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were football, track and field, and weightlifting.
Yeah. So the weightlifting thing, the team hadn't been made until my senior year, and they just gave everybody who participated in every off-season program, they got a letter.
All right.
So my senior year, they added the program while I was on the track team. So
that's the definition of a participation trophy.
Right on.
Good job.
Yeah.
And so you were the Elks up there, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that right? The Elks.
River Elks.
Wow.
Nice.
Disappointing.
So if you're in the Elk Club in Elk River,
is there an Elk Club?
Might mean something.
An Elks Lodge?
I think there is. Yeah. There's a
VFW. Well, there should be.
An Elks Lodge.
Like the national capital of it.
I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So then after you decided that you were going to go to college, you graduated in 2015 with a BA in sports management and Christian biblical studies from Crown College. That's up in like St.
Bonifacius, Minnesota, near Champlain Park.
Okay. Mm. Now, interesting side note, Crown College, my wife's cousin, Jennifer Niska, she is like the director of communications and marketing for Crown College.
Wow.
You know, because I had to look that up. At first, it's like, no, wait a minute. That sounds familiar. Now, when you were going there, they were the Storm?
My first season, we were the Storm. And then we didn't have a mascot the rest of my time there. And now they're the Polars.
The Polars. That's pretty great.
No, wait a second. They just decided that they weren't going to be the Storm anymore, and they went to the Polars?
Yeah, so how it was explained to me is we were the Storm, and then we were unofficially the Storm, but all the branding was just Crown College Athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 2 years ago, they did a survey of alumni with four or five choices, and the Polars ended up being...
That was it.
The thing that
got
the most...
Yeah.
And if North St. Paul High School, I think, they're like the Polar Bears or something.
Oh, so you're talking about bipolar institutions.
There are two, at least. Yeah, not too far away from one another. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you were a defensive back and linebacker for Crown. You were named the 2014 Commitment Award winner for the Crown football team. So, which as we get into a little bit deeper in the discussion, Coach, and I know I've seen it. Troy hasn't yet, but we've heard about your commitment to technique, and you're mm-hmm. a mad scientist mm-hmm. when it comes to it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
So then, what'd you do after Crown?
Well, immediately after being done playing, I still had a year left at school, so I went and coached at the local high school ninth grade team. The height of football.
Yes.
You know, so 3A ninth grade football in middle of nowhere, Minnesota is actually pretty great. It's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
Did that, finished school, and got an opportunity down in Texas at Southwestern Assemblies of God University.
We are quite familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Quite familiar, as you probably know.
Segu.
Yeah, Coach Perry. Well, I mean, we've got some players. I'm trying to think if we still got some Segu guys on our roster. You know, because we had like Mike Mouton came from that. Vontae Harper came up from Segu. Coach Paramore, who was a former head coach, was down. Now, were you guys down there at the same time?
No, we missed each other by a year or so. Okay.
So yeah, you were you were a GA down there.
Yes,
At Segu, you got your master's in organizational leadership in 2017, and then you went to a Division II school, correct?
Yeah, Missouri S&T in Rolla, Missouri.
Yeah. Now that's down in the Ozarks, kinda.
In that area, yeah.
Yeah. So did you ever go down and hang out in the Ozarks?
Once Andy Ball, who's the head coach now, his dad is a scout for the Chiefs, and he's got a house there at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Like Osage Beach area?
Yeah.
We went there last year.
Yeah, how was that?
Unimpressed.
Really?
I mean, there's beautiful properties, a lot of great water, but when like the locals say, it's just down the street, it's a 15-minute drive.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because there's nothing, I mean, you got the lake, and then there's hills, and it's not Iowa. I'll tell you that right now.
It takes a bit to get there. Lots of not straight roads.
Right. So at S&T, and S&T were the Miners, is that correct?
Yeah, the Miners.
Miners. M-I-N-E-R-S, not O-R-S.
No, yeah. All adults.
Division II. Mm-hmm. For a while, actually, S&T was in the MIAA,
mm-hmm.
But when you were there, it's the...
GLVC, the Great Lakes Valley.
Great Lakes Valley Conference, yeah. And that's where Upper Iowa went to.
That's right.
Yeah, they went to the Great Lakes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So then after that, your last stint was at Mid-American Nazarene University down in Olathe, Kansas, as a DL coach.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, with one of our Waldorf grads.
Yep, Zach Morrell was our receivers coach last year, and he did a really good job. We had three guys over 600 yards and one 1,000-yard receiver, so he must know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's
now I love Zach.
Yeah,
I do.
Good job out there.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to hear about kids that were players here, and that went on. They did some student coaching and some GA work here, and then off to MNU.
Andy, so, I think the longer that we do these shows, we're in the season three now, and I think we're just going to continue to see and be able to. 6 degrees of separation in just about every program across the country, I feel.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because you throw in the AFCA, and that's the, like we talked about last week, the speed dating of the coaching world.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you get here? Yeah. Let's talk about that. How did you end up from Olathe, Kansas, which is a beautiful part of the world, by the way? I've got family down there.
Okay.
And then up here to an even more beautiful part of the world.
Yeah. Well, I think it kind of just happened through people Coach Chop and I both know. So Coach Finley, who was the former head coach here, him and I crossed paths all the time when I got up to Missouri S&T. and he was down at Benedictine. We'd work camps together. We'd get to know each other. Great guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, the head coach at MNU, Paul Hansen. I might as well give him 10% of my salary because he's been my agent the last 4 years trying to get me a opportunity. And they both just, you know, I reached out to coach when I saw that they were looking. And, you know, and then as always happens with reaching out to someone you don't know, it goes radio silence for a while. And next thing you know, Coach Finley and Coach Hansen both said, hey, we talked to the head coach at Waldorf and we told him to hire you. And, you know, and lucky enough, like you say, the AFCA is like speed dating. We go sit and get a coffee.
Yeah.
And we're talking, we're just talking ball. We, I mean, yeah. You know, there was very little anything, but what are you about and what are you about? It wasn't mm-hmm. really, you know, this is, you know, Waldorf is here or there is because I don't really care if you know me for 5 minutes, I'll live anywhere if I can coach football.
Okay. Yeah.
You know? And it, not to, you know, Forest City's been great so far. People have been great, and especially all we've been doing the last week, it's been pretty awesome. But yeah, it was definitely that, just sitting down talking ball. And
you and your wife are gonna have to be careful. You're gonna fall in love with this place now.
Yeah,
this week maybe not so much. It's gonna be a little dreary and rainy and a little bit cold, but you're a Minnesota kid now. Is your wife also a Minnesota person?
Yeah, she's also from Minnesota, central Minnesota as well.
Like a nearby town,
or? She's from Malacca.
Oh, Malacca.
Is that that's also a really small town.
So. Well, I don't even ever heard of that one.
There you go.
I think I've heard of it.
Okay.
Of course, I've heard of Mille Lacs, but that's not the same.
Mm.
Yeah, it's south of Lake Mille Lacs.
Okay.
All right. I went ice fishing on Lake Mille Lacs one time.
You got to drive like 5 miles out there.
Just to get on the, you're on the water for that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big lake.
So being a Minnesota kid, did you grow up hunting, fishing, all the stuff that you're supposed to do?
All the stuff. Yeah. And so much so that when my dad found out I was moving to Iowa, he goes, now you got to go find me a bunch of farm guys that will let me hunt on their land.
Okay.
Come down and visit.
What does he want to hunt?
Yeah.
He likes hunting pheasants.
Okay.
Oh, we got him.
Really?
Actually, what I'll do is
come on out to Sunnyside.
I will put him in contact. You sometime during bird season, my son-in-law, Joe Adamson, down near Lathrop, Missouri, just north mm-hmm. of the Kansas City metro, he's got a hunting dog named Stella that is
Stella,
yeah, top notch. Mm. Everybody that's hunted behind her said she's great. So he loves to come up here and hunt, and we'll put, you know, I don't know if your dad has dogs, but man, we already got it. We got it hooked up.
There we go. Yeah. My son Jack loves to hunt too. Brings those pheasants home. So,
well, there you go.
There you go. We get some of the players out there now with you. Yeah. Can they do that?
Well, if they have a hunting license.
Right.
We can go back to the Jimmy Bates episode and talk about.
Oh, Jimmy was, he'd hunt everything, wouldn't he?
Right. But yeah. Jimmy was a former linebacker here at the Woo. And Father's Day 1 year, and he called me and said, hey, coach, you want to go fishing? Of course, I had the boat. So, yeah, sure, let's go fishing, Jimmy. Got out there and got the boat off the water, and Jimmy didn't catch anything, of course. But after we're done, I said, sorry, I didn't catch anything. He goes, that's probably good. I don't have a fishing license anyway.
Sounds about right. That's right. Very good. Well, so he likes to hunt. Can you come out? Do you hunt then?
I did. It's hard to hunt when you're a college football coach.
That's true.
So now
in the fall, you bet.
I guess I'm the point man in whatever state I'm living to find the hunting land.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can hook you up.
Yeah.
Absolutely hook you up. So
lots of CRP around here.
Yes, there is. Fishing? Is that it?
Fishing has become the bigger passion now because I used to not like it because you always got to get up in the early and then you're bitten by mosquitoes the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife loves fishing. And
all
that
right.
is, you know, that's the thing we do together, and hopefully Otto's going to love it too.
Yeah, well, that's a keeper right there. If your wife likes to fish, then you're in good company for sure.
She just doesn't like the part where she's got to take them off the hook.
Oh, yeah. Well, if she's bringing them in, though, you can't complain.
Nope, she's a way better fisherman than I am.
My wife loves to go fishing.
Okay.
And sit there and read a book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's boating.
She likes to sit there in the sun. And last summer we did a bit of that. And it's always good to have her along, you know, in case, could you grab that for me? And, you know, she ain't taking fish off.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
Well, it's fun. We got the boat all washed up and ready to roll. We're waiting for those docks to go in at Crystal Lake. When do they do that? I keep driving by.
I talked to Kale Edwards and they're not going in yet until they're till they can absolutely be guaranteed. It's probably not going to be until the first couple weeks in April.
Oh, it's coming up quick.
Yeah.
I heard that the count was really good last year. I got.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Talked to Bergman or something?
Well, I didn't. I talked to Mark Helgeson, and he seems to have the line on all of that stuff.
Right.
So
what have you heard about Waldorf, the experience here and things like that? Is there anything that you'd heard prior to getting here, or now that you've gotten here, are they bragging about anything that we do?
Yeah, I mean, obviously coaching with Zach, he'd talk about it all the time. He's like, it's a small town, but like you're going to love being there because the community really loves the university and they really support the athletics there. And that's what I've been looking for as a coach. You know, I've coached in big cities and small towns, and it seems to be the case. Anytime you're coaching in a small area, people flood to go see the game or they want to be at practice. And, you know, obviously not every college football team has a podcast dedicated to it, but I think that's what,
just the good ones.
That's the main thing I heard about here, and probably first heard about Waldorf when I was playing.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and wondering why we don't play them. And then someone told me about the NAI, and I go, what's that? Cause if we don't have NAI football in Minnesota.
Right. Zero.
But, yeah, I've heard nothing but good things and seen nothing but good things since I came here.
So people are welcoming you in?
It's amazing. We came up to look at the house we're renting.
Yep.
And our landlord didn't even ask us for a rent check. He just trusted that we'd show up and we'd pay.
He's good people.
He goes and introduces us to our next door neighbor. You know,
Ryan's?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You got to know Reed and Amy.
Yeah, and they've been great.
I know where you are now. Like I
Coach
yeah.
Paramore was living in that house for a little while. Yeah.
I heard that is the stop for every coach comes through here, at least lives there a little bit.
Two now. You're the second.
Okay.
We just got to get Chad to get you a garage. We have to work on that. Right?
There was a garage.
There was. I could see where the foundation is. Yeah. I went in and mowed that lawn for Brown last year.
Okay. Oh, that's
went in one time. Mowed it for him, and then it was dry all summer. Didn't have to worry about it after that. But my goodness,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. So one of the things that you probably, I don't know, you may have heard about it from Coach Chop. I remember, you know, visiting with him before. I think the guys might even been on spring break or something like that. And obviously before that, we were talking about, you know, we were looking for a DL coach. And it's like, okay, who are we going to get? And then he said, I got a guy. He said that he interviewed a bunch of people, but there, he goes, like, there's one guy I'm really excited about. And that was you. Mm-hmm. And he said, you just wait. He goes, it's going to change the landscape of our defensive line. He said, they are going to learn things. And he said that in the team meeting too. You're going to learn things that you've never even really considered.
Right.
Cause you like the technical aspect of the game. And just, I guess, for a little bit of, for the listeners, what are some of the things that you like to stress in your coaching philosophy?
Well, I think the first thing I stress is what everybody's role is. Is my role as a coach isn't to be a jerk or, you know, teach you stuff that's not going to work. My whole role is to teach from you and then demand a lot from you. And that's what I stress a lot when I'm not telling you anything you ain't going to use.
Right.
And their role is to work hard and to execute that stuff.
Yep.
So that's what I'm going to stress from a big picture and from a small picture. We're going to stress playing low. Every detail matters. If I'm teaching you to step and turn your foot this way, then turn your foot that way. We playing low, playing fast. We don't emphasize it like get your pads down. We emphasize get your hands above your eyes. Because if your hands are above your eyes, then you're probably lower than the old lineman because you're supposed to be grabbing them in the chest anyway.
That's right.
So that's really the world to me is how can I get as much detail with them without burying them in it?
So how did you get that information? I mean, you weren't playing on the defensive line. You were a back. And how did you come up with all of this technical info?
The best part is most of it, I didn't come up with it. I learned it from great coaches.
Right. That's what
And that's what the great guys do. I was really lucky when I got to Missouri S&T, really good DC and eventual head coach there, Todd Drury, was a good teacher. And I was willing to learn. He'd just pull me in and was like, let's talk about football for an hour. I'm like, I'm in, you know, and he was a good teacher of that, the first level of that. And, cause I was working with the outside backer. So there's a lot of crossover for those two groups, D-line and the backers. Mm-hmm. He was one. And then when I got to MNU, the current DC, Ivan Cordova, same thing. You know, he lives in that world, you know, came up through the D1 world under guys that, you know, were masters of this there in that Nick Saban school of teaching. And then he just pounded it in my head until our D-line was working the way he wanted it to.
Coach Chapa, in last week's episode, called you a technician, that you'll get on the whiteboard and explain things pretty detailed. Is that true?
Yeah. Like, we're even talking about, we got to draw it on the whiteboard the way we want them to do it. So if we're running a stunt and the guy's looping, it's got to be a loop on the whiteboard. It can't be a slash or it can't be straight because that's not what I want him to do. Mm-hmm. And the same, if he's slanting, it's got to be a slant because I just think that's how kids' brains work. Mm-hmm. They're going to latch on to everything you tell them, but they're going to latch on to the first thing you tell them the most.
Right.
So if you do it the right way, usually that's how they learn better.
Very good. And so the aspect of the technician on the defensive line and Coach Chapa's opinion is something that has been, well, it's been absent. I mean, we haven't had it. I mean, the technician part of it. And so have you seen that as you've come in and said, hey, there's some immediate fixes that we can make here, and then we can build on that?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of raw clay. Mm-hmm. There's talent out there. There's a lot of guys. I think, you know, the one that sticks out is Nico Page because he's been blowing up my phone since he heard I got hired even moved to town. But there's talent out there. It's just it hasn't been focused on the right things, you know.
Coach Chapa said last week that Nico, maybe it was you, Andy, that came off the field. And he said, Coach, my thighs are burning.
He did say that.
You know, and that's a good
thing. I can't remember who he said it to, but I remember that.
Because he'd been putting all of his weight, you know, on his hand, on his fingers.
Yep.
And when you do that, you're already behind you're behind the ball on that. You know, you want to be able to explode out of that position and get to where you need to be.
Yeah, that's the thing I've been emphasizing them, and they're taking to it like fish to water, man. Mm. Your stance isn't supposed to be hard to get out of, mm-hmm. and usually it is if you're putting all your weight on one part of the body, either feet or hands.
Yeah. You know? And those aren't small guys, so
no.
Putting all your weight on, you know, your hand or something like that, and then pushing out of that's a challenge anyway. So being able to those guys also can pick up small cars and stuff, so like they've got the power in there, so just got to be able to take advantage of it.
Yes, sir.
And Nico just gets bigger every time you see him.
Yeah.
You know, the workout season that we've had since coming back from semester, Coach Chapa was talking about at our first team meeting that everybody, 100% PR in the weight room, and that they're averaging like 30 pounds better in their lifting. You know, as a team, which that's monstrous if you think about all those people.
Yeah.
You know, and so the keys are really coming together. One of the things Chapa talked about too, and I'm sure he said this to you, is just with adding the addition of Coach Brummer and Coach Clary.
Mm, yeah.
Things just feel right now. And maybe it's because in the last few years, we've kind of been like, gosh, what are we going to do? You know, it's July. We don't have a coach yet. You know, and of course, with the situation last summer with the departure of Coach Paramore, and then it was like, let's scramble. we had Coach Chapa as the defensive coordinator, is now the defensive coordinator and head coach. So you've got 6 weeks to your first game coach, and boom, here you go.
And a brand new offensive coordinator, too, with Ani.
Yeah.
I mean, stepping into that role.
Yeah.
Everything that he picked up from Paramore, and then, you know, trying to apply it and bring his own spin to it. So it'd be just a lot of balls in the air. Last fall.
Yeah. This just, everything feels so solid about this team. What's your perception of staff and I'm an outsider looking in, cause I don't get invited to parties, but
yeah.
That's for you, Chapa. So anyway, but how is like the culture of the coaching staff and things like that? How's that going for you, and what's your perception of it?
I think it's just like the town. Everyone's real welcoming, and they're ball coaches. That's the biggest thing. Everybody seems like an expert in their field, you know, and that's what you want. I'm sure Coach Chop is excited about that, especially on the other side of the ball. You know, Coach Ani seems like he knows what he's doing with the whole line, and Coach Don is in my office all the time. I can hear him in his meeting just telling him every little thing they got to do right at the receiver group. So I think that's my main perception is, you know, even Coach Clary, you know, when we get to work together at practice, this dude knows what he's talking about when it comes to linebacker play. When you got guys like that and you got kids like we got that are trying to soak it all up, it's really exciting.
Well, and that's, you know, I spent a lot of the off season just doing a little bit of my own BS research on, like, you know, coaching philosophy and stuff like that. I'll never be a coach. But the reality is
you're the coach's coach.
Huh?
No. You're the coach's coach. You're the guy that says, coach, here's some things you can
coach,
you can work on.
Yeah. But really, as a lot of the reading that I did is that the big thing, and you've said it a few times, is that you have to be a teacher. You know, coach is just a name, but if you're not a teacher, if you can't explain the why to these guys, you know, I need you to do it like this, and this is why we do it. And I've noticed that you did that. The few practices I've been to, I'm sorry, I'm not getting up at 4:30 in the morning to come stand out in the cold. Love you guys, but no, ain't
right.
And I got work to do. Mm-hmm. You know, so is that something that you've always seen in your career, that, you know, it's those guys that are really good at teaching that make the best coaches?
Absolutely. So when I started out, I thought I knew what I was doing, and it took me longer than it probably should have to figure out I didn't. Mm-hmm. And it was because I was consistently blessed with really good players and consistently blessed with a coach over me that was a good teacher.
Yeah.
That's why I had at SAGU, the DB's coach there, Bo Gretsch, was a really good teacher. Todd Drury, like I said, really good teacher. And then I just happened to have super talented guys who made me look like I knew what I was doing. And then eventually I figured out, oh, I got to learn how to teach this game, not just know it.
So that talks a little bit about your praise of Zach Morrell. I mean, he probably had some great receivers.
Yeah.
A little dig there.
No? Yeah. Well, yeah, he's got it coming. I'm sure he's listening to the show right now.
Well, he better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been on it.
Yeah. He came back for one game. I think it was our last game this year, possibly. Yeah. He showed up, and it was always good to see Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if he just brought his mom. You met his mom?
I have not met his mother yet.
She's an intense individual. She loved her Waldorf, and she hated Dickinson State.
Well, that's a big bus.
That is true.
It's a big bus coming back too, by the way. Apparently, I don't think they're fans of us either. So.
No, I don't think they like us. No. And that's fine, because we don't have to play them anymore.
Correct.
Yeah, we're done with that. GPAC. So you know, down at Mid-America Nazarene, you were in that conference that has a lot of great teams in it. Now you're coming to the GPAC. What's your perception of the GPAC?
Very similar to the Heart. A lot of really good teams, top to bottom. I mean, obviously everybody knows, you know, who the big dogs are, whatever that means, you know, and I'm lucky and fortunate enough to have two former teammates at Dort. So I'm looking forward to that game circled on the calendar for sure. I think it's a really good league. I like what they're about, and I'm excited. That's one of the reasons I want to come here. I want to go play top 10, top 5 teams as much as possible, because that's how you figure out what you're made of.
It is a quality conference. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You've got some national champions in there, and those are, you know, they did that on their own accord. But you're dealing with a conference that cares very much about its – the type of institutions that make it up. And that was part of the process of getting into the GPAC and having them come out. And I think Northwestern guy is actually in charge of the, weren't they like one of the deciding factors of the getting into the GPAC? I felt like,
well, there had to be a vote.
Yeah. You know, Northwestern, like, or Morningside.
I'm not sure. There was a vote at Council of Presidents.
Yeah.
That had to vote us in.
Yeah.
You know,
they came out and visited with us, and just you and I. We were, obviously, they did a tour of the campus and the facilities and all of that. And, you know, they just want to, they kind of are protecting a very special group of, you know, institutions that demand a lot from their students. And then when it comes to the gridiron, they have some great ball.
Well, yeah, you talk about competing against, you know, top five, top 10 teams. You know, we can, you can today point to three of the teams in our conference that are probably going to be in the top five preseason. You know, Dort's kind of, you never know, but Dort's a fantastic football team. You know what you got with Morningside and Northwestern. And we have both of those teams at home this year.
I noticed that.
Which is great.
Yes.
That's
good. Come on over.
Well, right, and you don't have to sit on a bus for 10 and a half hours.
Right.
Yeah, that's the big difference for us.
Yeah, well, yeah, and there's not a single one of those games left in our schedule. I think the furthest away we talked about is Hastings, and that's a five-hour drive.
Yeah, something like that.
So,
yeah, that'll be good. So, Coach, why don't you tell us a little bit about your family? We can start with your wife, how you two got to know each other, and, you know, just talk about the romance.
Michaela, with an A-E?
How do you
spell the name?
A-Y? M-I-C-H-A-E-L-A.
Oh.
So her dad's name is Michael.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, so both met at Crown. Funny thing is neither one of us remembers this, but we were in the same freshman New Testament Bible class at Crown.
Okay,
nice.
And the only reason we both know that is because there is a famous inside joke between us that somebody stood up and kind of, his grandfather had written the book for the class, so he kind of humble bragged about the class that his grandfather wrote the book for the class. And
yeah, I think, but like he'd never read it.
So the grandfather read the New Testament?
The textbook.
Wow.
The textbook.
He had to have been old.
My grandfather wrote this book.
My grandfather's the Apostle Paul.
Yeah. No. Have you read it? No, I have not, but he talked about it.
So, yeah, so we're both there freshman year. Yeah. She was actually, hadn't graduated high school. She was post-secondary.
Nice.
So she was still in high school, slowly became friends. I actually credit myself for three marriages.
Okay.
Because I got recruited by Crown. There was a couple opportunities, nothing that looked like I was going to be in anybody's plans. I go to a visit with Crown with one of my best friends. And he comes out of the visit going, I don't know. I come out of the visit, this is like, this is where I'm going to play college football, and this is where I'm going to school. And then I browbeat him for a month until he commits to Crown as well.
Nice.
Because he's the better player.
What's he doing now?
He's a firearms instructor, and he removes asbestos back in Minnesota.
That's pretty cool.
There you go.
But what I credit is because I got him there. Him and I convinced his older brother to transfer from Central Lakes to Crown.
Okay.
And then Michaela's best friend married his older brother. And then my friend there met his wife at Crown as well. Mm-hmm. And the funny part is Michaela and I were both going to Crown first, and we were the last of the three to get married.
Well, there you go. So you're sitting in the same class. You don't remember it. Now, tell that story that way. But when that story first came up, she's like, I don't remember you. You're like, yeah. I don't remember you either, you know, yeah. But you did, or did you? You don't remember.
I don't remember seeing her there. I'm sure she sat it.
Was it a big class?
It was the biggest class on campus because everyone's got it taken.
Yeah.
You think, you know, I talk to guys all the time and then, yeah, you think this school is small. Crown has one class building.
Oh.
And the men's freshman dorm is in the same building. That's how small that school is.
Okay. Well, yeah. Waldorf started from that point as well.
Yeah, it did.
That was Salveson, you know.
1903.
Yeah, 1903. Mm-hmm. So we're with you.
Yeah. So.
Growing up a little.
No, it was a big class. I'm sure she sat at the front. She graduated early.
Okay.
And you know, like I said earlier, it took me a little extra time to get done. So I was probably sitting in the back. But we slowly became friends through that, you know, mutual friend relationship. And the part that's great about it is we became really good friends before we even considered dating each other.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
So what year did you guys get married?
2020.
You got married.
You graduated.
So I'm telling you, it took a minute.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Graduated from high school in 2015.
No, from high school in 2011.
Yeah. 2011. You graduated from college in 2015.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you got married in 2020.
Yeah, so we were friends for a really long time. She moved to Arizona after graduating.
Okay.
We maintained like a long distance friendship.
Yep.
And she straight up said, we're never going to date because I don't want to be long distance.
Okay.
And then
showed her.
Then right. I just kept hanging around and talking to her. I moved to Texas and kept, you know, calling her or texting her and be like, how are you doing? You know? And then one day I just said, hey, you want to be boyfriend and girlfriend? She goes, yeah.
There you go.
And then I moved to Missouri, and she moved to Missouri with me.
Nice. So did you have some big event when you proposed? Like, did you have, I mean, or was it just kind of like, you know, driving home from the movie theater, kind of nudge her awake? We should get married. Yeah. Huh? Sure.
No. So
is that her, how you did it? It sounds very personal.
Her
similar.
It was on a ladder painting a house, but whatever.
Very good.
Her parents had moved to Prescott, Arizona, mm-hmm. after they retired. So we were spending a Christmas out there, and her sister and her husband live out in Maryland, and this was going to be my chance to ask her with her whole family there.
Right.
So we're going to Christmas. They live up in the mountains, and I'm thinking, perfect. We'll go to her favorite hiking spot when she lived here, and we'll go up on that big rock she showed me, and I'll ask her. And then it rained and snowed for 2 days. So then Christmas Eve, we're coming back from the Christmas Eve service, and I had the ring in my pocket all weekend because I just decided I'm going to ask her outside their house. I can't wait anymore. I wrongly assumed that her sister's flight was at 4 a.m. the next day. It's at 4 p.m., so I could have just asked Christmas morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it wasn't raining. It's raining outside. I'm wearing nice clothes. She walks up the steps to go in the house, and I said, hey, come here. And she said, no, it's raining. Let's go inside. And I got a little angry. I said, get down here quick. And then
it's like a Hallmark movie, but not quite.
Yeah. It's like if you've ever seen the movie Meet Me in St. Louis.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where the one boyfriend just bursts in the house in the middle of the night, yells at her and goes, we need to get married. And then I love you. And then leaves. That's kind of how it went down.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got down on the knee, and she got all worked up because she was confused. She didn't know. I put the ring on the correct finger, and she said, that's the wrong finger.
Oh.
She was a little.
The other hand, she was all flustered.
Now, did you go to her dad beforehand and say, dude, all right, did he give you any great words of encouragement?
Well, the funny part is I said, hey, Mike, we got to have breakfast sometime this week before the 24th.
And he knew.
And he goes, yep. And he goes, and Mara's coming with us. That's my mother-in-law.
Nice.
And she did all the talking. Him and I just sat there and listened.
Is that right?
They gave me a lot of great advice, mm-hmm. not only about being married and what's important, but also their daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a great woman. She's strong as heck, mm-hmm. you know, and one of those people that she's very stubborn, but for the right reasons.
Well, that's good.
It is. I love it. I love those stories.
I do too. That's my.
Makes me a little. I'm not weepy, but you know, I got a little something in my eye.
Yeah,
it's a good thing we don't have TV
yet. Yeah. We need that.
We need that. Yeah,
we absolutely need that. That's a great story.
It is awesome.
So, all right. So Michaela's got a sister, mm-hmm. and then does she have any other siblings?
Nope, just her and her sister.
So Mike and Mara are her parents.
Yeah.
And her sister's name has to begin with an M.
Yeah, Marissa.
There you go.
The M's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the M and M and M and M.
Yeah. Four M's, not three M's out of Minnesota, but four.
Oh, yeah, 3M is from Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Minnesota mining and manufacturing.
Maybe.
There it is.
So, all right, tell us about about your family, where you came from.
So, yeah, I was born and raised in Elk River, Minnesota. But if you know Brainerd, Minnesota, north of there.
Yeah, do you know Brainerd?
Yeah.
Where CLC is, a cool little college with a nice football program. And both my parents are from there. My dad's from south of town, lived at a pig farm and loved farming and hunting growing up. My mom's from probably the most well-known, one of the well-known families in Brainerd, the Sweets. Her dad was a stock car driver and owned a gas station, that kind of stuff. And kind of the same thing. My dad saw her one day, said, I'm going to marry that girl. And then took him a while longer and they got married.
So your grandfather was a stock car driver?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go fast.
Yeah. Ricky Bobby. Well, they also do, don't they? Isn't Brainerd where they, don't they also do like the snowmobile races and stuff on the lake there in the winter? Or is that, am I thinking someplace else?
That's like everywhere in Minnesota.
I was going to say. Oh,
pretty much everywhere. Yeah, they do it there. But
there's over 10,000 lakes.
Yeah. So
there's
what else are we going to do?
10,000 snowmobile races.
All right. You're also very close to Camp Ripley. I've been there many, many times. I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to do weekends there in the summer with our football team, and we'd get to do cool stuff that they do for training, like drive a simulated tank.
Yeah.
But stay in the barracks, which when you're a teenager is kind of cool. And then you realize as an adult, that's kind of not great digs.
Correct.
No, wouldn't be your first choice.
Correct. Yeah. Nice.
Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, two. I got an older brother. His name is Logan, a younger sister.
Okay.
His name is Becca.
What are they up to these days?
My brother works for Border State Electric.
Okay.
And the funny part about him is I think he would have been a great football coach or a teacher.
Yeah.
Because he has a level of patience I don't understand. he's the nicest guy. He'll talk your ear off, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a dude in high school. He was one of the best receivers in Minnesota his senior year. And then it didn't work out for him in college. But my sister lives in Wisconsin with her husband. She's a nurse.
Okay.
So, you know, she's super excited to be an aunt.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah. So is this the first grandchild?
On my side, yes.
Okay.
On her side, it's the second. The crazy part is you want to hear something wild?
I do.
All right. So my sister got married this last year, and we announced we're having our child. Whenever we did that, just after, you know, let her have her moment in the sun, and then we're like, we're taking the thunder back here. then a few months later, my best friend back home, his wife is now pregnant. He's due in June. My cousin who lives near my parents, his wife just had their second 3 days after Otto was born.
Wow.
And then her sister is pregnant as well.
See what you guys started?
And then my sister is pregnant as well.
It's a little baby boom.
That's pretty awesome.
It's just
a little Brumley. It's a little Brummer baby boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you get Brumley?
I don't know. I must know somebody with that name.
I don't know. Wasn't that like a butler on a TV sitcom back in the 70s?
Ben,
it's got to be.
I don't want to. It's not the Ben Brummer baby boom, because you're not responsible for all of that.
But no,
it's like a baby boom, and the Brummers are part of it.
Yeah.
So you're obviously dedicated to your craft. When you get now, it's going to be 11 or 12 years till you get to do this again. But before Otto came, what did you like to do to just kind of let your hair down?
Like I said, we like to go fishing. There's a lake there in Olathe that's like 10 minutes away, and we would drive, and we're not the wealthiest people. So we have two inflatable paddle boards and two collapsible fishing rods, and we'd just paddle out and fish. It's a lot of fun. One of the best parts about being a young married couple in Kansas City, they have free concerts all summer
in
the downtown area and the power and light. It's all country artists, so I love country music.
That's a shame.
Which makes it tough when you're a D-line coach. You gotta learn to like heavy metal or rap music, but which I like both of them, just not as much as country.
Yeah, I may not be a big country fan.
I'm with you, Ben. I like the country.
Yeah.
I like some of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like four songs that I can listen. Now, let's be honest, like the country from like the 80s and 90s, I appreciate that.
Of course.
But like this new stuff just sounds like regular pop music.
Mm-hmm.
Playing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They put on a steel guitar and they call it country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm with you. And I'll listen to all of that country stuff. But
for sure.
That is Kansas City. My son Tate's down there. You guys are about the same age. He's down there in Kansas City, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Good time. Yeah.
Yeah. Kansas City's a great town. My son-in-law, he originally from Raytown down there on the, over on the east side, Kansas City Metro. And that's where his family's still at for right now. And they're living the life up in Lathrop out in a farm somewhere.
Nice.
So
this is the beginning of your stead here at Waldorf University. You've been getting to know the players. You've been here at this point for a couple of weeks as we record this. It'll be just short of a month by the time this airs, and that's the and then spring ball will be about a week away or two or three weeks away from being wrapped up.
Yeah.
What are you hoping to accomplish in spring ball, and what at this point where you're at right now, what work do you have to do to get to where you want to be?
Well, the main thing is like spring ball, everyone's got to get better down to, you know, first guy on the depth chart and to guy that's carrying the water. Everyone's got to get better. Not that there is a depth chart, you know, that's the other thing I got to accomplish is figure out who can do it and who needs some more time to develop. But those are the main things. Like, I just want everybody to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the few practices we've gotten so far have been really encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're working hard. They're trying to take the coaching. There's no pushback or anything like that, that which is always awesome as a coach, because especially a new coach who's been here a week and they've barely seen up till the first practice I got to go to, they just jumped in and like, let's go, coach, let's get better. And I want to accomplish that, and I want to be a D-line that everybody's going to fear to run the ball on, and they're worried about their quarterback. And I think we can get to start and being that by the end of spring ball. There's a lot of work to do. You know, there's just a lot of technique they got to learn, and there's just a lot of, you know, those little pieces, those details that they got to master. You know, I had one guy in the day and he goes, what do I need to get better? And I can't sit there and go everything, but I said, we got to build the foundation first. Let's get this foundation built and then we'll worry about the rest of it.
So who is your, were you a Vikings fan growing up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Troy is too.
Yep. Still am.
Yep. So the Kirk Cousins situation.
Keep that candle
burning. We got to talk about that. The Kirk Cousins situation.
Yep.
What is, I mean, as lifelong Viking fans, fellas, Kirk Cousins, I mean, that, I thought, I mean, that was the guy that I wanted to have the Vikings win the Super Bowl with.
Yeah. Well, I think we all did.
And who'd they get? Sam Darnold? Something like that? Paying like $7 million or some crap for Sam Darnold?
Well, yeah. But then the last, I mean, in the last season was particularly difficult for a variety of reasons. But, sure. but we had the opportunity to pretty much see everybody in our depth chart in the quarterback position with the Vikings. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I'm bummed as a Kirk Cousins fan.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to be both. I want to be a Kirk Cousins and Vikings fan at the same time.
Sure.
You know, if you know anything about Vikings fans, we're probably the pettiest fan base when it comes to guys leaving the team or guys coming in.
Yep.
But I mean, I'm a fan of that guy and how he plays and how he carries himself. Got to see that documentary on Netflix, and got an insight into like kind of guy he is.
Yeah, I think that's what might have converted Andy a little bit to like.
I'm no Viking fan.
Right.
I don't dislike the Vikings, but I will say that it changed my perception. And going in to the last NFL season, I wanted my eggs in his basket. I wanted him to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a quality individual.
I agree. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he got hurt, you know, the Achilles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to just, you can't come back from that quick. And he did a great job supporting the team in the process. It was fun to see him support the team and blow the horn and do all the crazy things that he did. But Vikings fans are kind of, I suppose that's the way it is with any team. I mean, Andy, you follow the Saints. I think, you know, there's probably the super hardcore footballers that would say, you know, like, we need to get rid of, he's pushing 40 and he's, you know, what do we got left? And that's too much money and all of that. And they're probably right. And then there's more of the fans like my wife and I, they're like, yeah, but we like Kirk and we'd just like to see, you know, we believe in what he believes in and we want to see him succeed. And he probably will. We wish the best, you know, for him, but too bad. Yeah. I think he had a window there and he had a window that, you know, when he took over in that position, I think it took a while for people to even believe that he could do anything. And he had a hard row to hoe even in that spot.
Oh, people were beating him up left.
Terrible.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they loved him. He had a pretty good season. And then after that, and then unfortunately last year, then this is what happened. So
sure.
Just too bad, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of the sense of this isn't how it's supposed to end. Right? Like,
right.
He was supposed to at least get us to the NFC Championship game again or something like that, or win another back-to-back division title. But
agreed.
I think what everybody knows about Vikings quarterbacks is we usually do better with a guy coming from another team that's older than we do with a drafted one.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Correct.
Warren Moon. Yeah. Randall Cunningham. Yeah. Brad Johnson both times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was kind of the thing with Kirk is like Washington let him go for what reason? He's a good quarterback and you guys don't have anything else going on. And then I hope that would happen for Sam Darnold, but I also hope they draft one of these guys that's coming out that's got some ability and
a lot of studs coming into the draft. That's what is that this month in April? Or I'm sorry, in April is the draft, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And I can't remember.
That is, like, one thing I pay almost no attention to is the draft. And this is terrible.
It.
You'd love it. Yeah.
I love the draft.
Oh, well, then you really put me on the spot there. Is it in April? I'm like,
only,
I don't know. It could be tomorrow. I wouldn't know. Yeah.
I watch the draft only to see the rabid fans that travel from all over the nation. They have their team gear on, and it'll be like, you know, here comes the commissioner, Roger Goodell, out.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of him.
In the 18th pick of the draft, the Cleveland Browns select John Watson. And everybody's like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And they all cheer. They're like, yeah. And they're grabbing their phone. John Watson.
Who's that guy?
Oh, we didn't need a cornerback.
What are they doing?
Geez, we needed a quarterback, not a corner.
For the amusement piece of it.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
The theater of it is great.
Well, I agree with that.
It's built on pomp and circumstance more than anything.
Yeah. Isn't that all done at Kansas City? That was where it was last year.
I was there last year. I think they move it every year.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. I don't know where it's going to be, but yeah, just that first round is so great. Every time Goodell walks out, they just all boo him. That's also some of my favorite things.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well deserved. Yeah.
So you mentioned a little bit about some of the coaches that kind of taught you growing up, but like, who were some of your heroes, whether in football or in life, that are some of those things that you try to model yourself after?
Yeah. From a football coach's standpoint, I'm like a big, it's weird because I'm a defensive guy, big fan of Bill Walsh and his whole philosophy and how he did everything. And I try to emulate that. It's hard to match those great ones. And then, always loved Tom Landry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a diehard 4-3 flex defense guy until I got into the 3-4 world with the S&T guys and really learned a lot there. Life-wise, my dad and my mom are awesome. You know, my dad's got a high school education, worked his tail off. You know, one of the smartest guys I ever met.
Oh, yeah.
And doesn't have a degree or anything, but, you know, he can talk to you about any subject at a high level. And he's a great, you know, another one of those people in my life, like, why don't you just coach? Why don't you just pick a sport and coach? Because you'd be so good at it. And then my mom is, she's a varsity volleyball coach at Elk River High School.
Okay.
And her and I are each other's therapy all the time. We call or text and like, hey, I got this kid doing this. And she's like, well, you want to hear what I'm going through? And she was the same way, great coach. She's the first one to tell me, if you want to do this, just don't be proud. Always learn from those who win, always learn. So, and really outside of that, my college coach was a huge impact on me. Both my DCM position coach, Jeremy Sather, and my head coach, John Auer, who is no longer at Crown. He left Crown. They asked him to resign 2 years ago, but a great guy, still texts me, still calls me. Good. You know, the funny part is he's one of the first guys to text me when my son was born.
That's great.
He saw it on Facebook, so he's like, I got to text Ben and
that's wonderful.
Tell him, you know, and he spends all his time connecting with former players. And
yep.
I learned a lot about why you become a coach from him.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the guys. And, you know, as I continue to go, I want to be like those great guys like Saban, Belichick from a football standpoint for sure. Right. And then what they've done for people throughout their time.
Yeah, that, you know, it doesn't take too long being around a college football program to realize that the game that you play on Saturday is such a very small part of what you guys are responsible for. It's about receiving boys from their parents and turning them into good men.
Mm-hmm.
Good men that are going to be good parts of their community. They're going to be good husbands, good fathers, good members of their community. And just, you know, that's really what it's about, you know, at the end of the day. And that's what I love about being around the program is I, Coach Finley, after my first year, I said, dude, I'm not coming to every practice anymore. He's like, well, why don't you do some coaching? I said, I don't know the first thing. I said, I love watching football and I can tell you what may or may not be going well. I said, but when it comes to the technical aspects of it, I don't get it. And I don't care to either. I'll keep polishing helmets.
Right. I'm with you, Andy. That's where I'm at the same way. Love to call the game. Love to meet the players and love the environment. Yeah. And I love the lessons that football teaches as a sport, the game of life and the development of young men, and all of that. But I still to this day, I'm looking. I mean, I'll be up there in the box, and I'm like, I don't know what they're running. I can't call that offense or defense. That's why you have folks that are in, you know, in tune with that, that has spent the time to do the work, and you know, we're happy to be doing what we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is, for sure.
This is the easy part, is to be able to come in, get to know our coaches a little better, get to know some of our players. Next week's episode, you guys will hear from George Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name, Troy?
Listen, it is George Rivera. It's spelled like Jorge, okay? And so, 1 to 10 or 12 times, I called him Jorge over the PA. And it's not my fault.
No, and that's...
If you read it, if you put it in front of me, I'll read it.
I know, and that's where I have the advantage of having Troy's cell phone number, so when he would say something wrong, I'd have to get on my cell phone and say, and then I'd have to try to phonetically sound it out.
Yeah, that's... I require that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and we had that with a SAGU transfer, Mike Mouton, and it was just M-O-U-T-O-N.
Yeah.
And if you've not been coached on that, it was the first.
We'll talk to Mike down the road. He's playing pro ball with the semi pro. Well, it's pro. It's just what the level is. We'll talk to him about that.
Someplace
I said Mouton because it. Well, that's how it's spelled, Mouton.
But anyway,
yeah. But he corrected me.
Mike was a godly, gracious man, and he didn't hold any grudges. Thank goodness.
No, he's happy to come back on the show, so he must have forgiven me.
I hope so. I hope so.
Or he's got some things he needs to air out. I don't know. Maybe that could.
Well, either way, it's 6-1, half dead to the other. Cool,
indeed.
Well, Coach, it was great for you to spend some time with us, just so that our fan can get to know. Yeah, sorry, fans. There's probably
We only have one. His name is Bill, and
Well, there are a few fans that like to light up a cigar and take an adult beverage out to the garage, and that's up in Little Falls.
Is that Little Falls?
Little Falls,
not Minnesota. Too far away from the Elk River area. There,
Yeah, that's Chad, and well, I don't think Amber goes out and has a cigar, but I know Chad
might be rolling them. She's got like a little Cuban operation in the back, just like making and like, here, try this one. I put the little stripes on it, the little barber
How's
pole.
How's that look?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but again, we do have quite a few people to listen. Yeah. Now, you know, talking about the Little Falls Elk River, your folks are going to be about, 3 hours away?
Yes, sir.
So they're probably pretty excited about being able to come down and, and watch you work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they going to be down for the spring game?
Probably, because you know I got that little magnet at home.
Oh, that's true.
That they want to see they're coming this weekend.
Oh, very nice.
So yeah, their main gripe when I lived in Rolla is like it's really hard to get there.
It is.
It should be a 6-hour drive, but it's like a 10-hour drive.
Yeah,
because it's in the middle of nowhere.
I can't wait for you and your folks, your family, your friends that come and watch you coach. To experience the game day environment that we do have here at Waldorf. I think the coaches that had given you the advice and what you're getting into here at Waldorf University were accurate. The community does love our program. They love being out at Bullstore Field on Saturdays. They'll get out there early. They'll be tailgating on the north end. And as that continues to grow, we just look forward to having so many folks out there. And it has become a real legitimate event, as it well should be, because it's great football. They get to watch a great game. Of course, a lot of them also bring their TVs with them, so they might be watching two games at the same time, which is interesting. But they have a good time on the north end. The stands are full, and we've got lots of activities happening around. First home game, of course, is community night. We'll be talking more about that as we roll on through this season, and that'll be something for you to experience as well. Fireworks at night and all kinds of good things.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, speaking of good times, if you're in the Four City area on the 13th of April, Coach, is that correct? A spring game? I believe it's like a 1 o'clock start to that 1:30. I don't know. Sometime afternoon.
We'll get the details to you. You bet.
Well, at the same time, folks, pack up your friends. Come on down. It's the spring game. It's the chance for these coaches to kind of show what they've put together in a short amount of time. It's also a good time to us to practice our tailgate. So bring your awnings and your tents and your grills and your TVs. Come on down to Bullstore Field. Remember, we have electricity. So, and coaches probably won't, well, we have electricity in Four City, but they actually have electricity out at their tailgating site. So come on down and have a good time. And, we'll do some tailgating beforehand, have something to eat and have a couple beverages and watch our Warriors, show off the progress that they've made with the assistance of, one of our newest coaches, Ben Bromer. So.
Absolutely.
Coach, I want to thank you for taking some time out of your day away from your son and your wife to just spend a little time with us so people can get to know you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
No, it's great. Can't wait to see what you put together on the field. So, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Waldorf Gridiron Club podcast, season 3, episode 2. So, folks, thanks for listening so very much. For Troy Thompson, this is Andy Buffington. And forever and always,
go Warriors.
Next week. On the Waldorf Gridiron Club podcast.
You changing. Like Christopher Walken there for a moment?
Right. So, Mr. George Rivera, number 29 in your program, folks.
When the first time you heard your name over the PA from Troy and he called you Jorge, did you want to go up there and slap him in his face?
No, it actually made me laugh. All throughout high school, I was actually really physical. I liked defense more than anything. When I came back and I got that first touchdown of the season, it felt really nice.
You usually have something to say, Troy.
I'm sorry, I was making a note for something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know you knew that.
I do. I mean, I'm the only one that can read it.
I had seen a lot of guys that let their emotions get the best of them, and they'll get back in the coach's face or they'll try to make calls when they think that they know what they're talking about, but they might not. And I've always just seen that and never really allowed myself to get to that point.
Is there anything more egotistical than a defensive back in this world?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
They like talking, don't they?
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always looked up to Coop more as a coach just because the first 2.5 years that I was here, I just was sitting back and watching what he was doing for the most part.
Episode 3, Season 3, folks, on your favorite podcast platform.
You can join the Waldorf Gridiron Club and be part of the best small college football experience in America.
Just visit our website and pick your membership level. Find us and everything Waldorf Gridiron Club related, including professional photos, at waldorfgridironclub.org.
You can also click on the Support the Show link in the show notes to donate.
And you can even use the United States Postal Service by sending your check to the Waldorf Gridiron Club, P.O. Box 125, Forest City, Iowa, 50436.
It's tax exempt, hassle free, and has a level for every budget.
That's right. Anyone can join, even our rivals.
Show your colors. Join the Gridiron Club today.
Get it?
Got it.
Fantastic. The Waldorf Gridiron Club podcast is hosted by Andy Buffington and me, Troy Thompson. Produced by Sunnyside Farm Studios in beautiful rural Forest City, Iowa. Platformed by Buzzsprout and music by Soundstripe. The Waldorf Gridiron Club is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the student athletes of the Waldorf University football program. Our mission is to assist the program in maintaining the best small college football experience in America.